It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Welcome to Cardiff City World, brought to you by Ace Podcast Nation, of course. We're here today to talk five things we learned from Middlesbrough 4, Cardiff City 1. You say five things we learned. Are we learning them? Maybe not. I don't know. It's a thing. Like, it feels like we're making a lot of same mistakes. I don't know if you'd even call them mistakes, but it's all I can say is it does feel a tad frustrating. But we'll talk about it. We're also going to talk about the contract situation with the manager, and at least this looks like there's going to be some sort of stability on that side of things in the next 24 hours or so, if I was guessing. But yeah, let's start with the game first and foremost. I don't think it was a 4-1 game, but I was disappointed by the starting 11 selection. I just thought, look, the back four, okay, I understand going with Romeo. Would I have liked to have seen Conte? Yes. But I thought Tanner left back, yeah, makes a lot of sense considering the injuries and whatnot. Could he have gone with like Louis Giles from start? Yeah, maybe. But I understand, you know, Ollie Tanner's been waiting for a chance as well. He did all right at left back. So yeah, and Romeo the same. He's been waiting for a chance. I get it. Psyopis rules. Yeah, again, I get it. We predicted it in the preview that he would go with that. And then as we kind of get further on, like, it's this Turnbull in number 10 thing is frustrating for me. However, what I will see on Turnbull, so let's say number one, right? Turnbull. I see a lot of people criticizing him on social media, saying, you know, I'm being impressed. If you look at his, like, his stats and everything from yesterday, very impressive, very tidy, did a lot of good things, looked after the ball, which is obviously he's very good at. I still don't know where the number 10 is, like, his position. I think to me, he just looked made as a number 8. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. And maybe some of the other people who think the same are wrong. I don't know. I thought he was very tidy. And I think there's a player that, interestingly, a lot of the criticism he gets reminds me of the criticism that, yes, Stephen McPhail used to get. Like, he's not attacking, he's not this, he's not this, he's just kind of there and he just passes and he looks after the ball. I thought he's very tidy and I really like the way that he rarely gives the ball away. He works hard and I see a player there, I really do. And even from those short little cameos we saw with him alongside Psyopis, the difference in him and Rawls is just that he's a bit more aggressive in terms of he'll give the ball into Colwell or to Ashford or whoever. But then he goes for that return ball and taking the ball on the run and having the pitch and what, you know, the players running off him and in front of him. I think he works better with that view in front of him as opposed to sometimes being on the half turn or on the back. But I do believe that he's the perfect partner for Psyopis. And I that's just my opinion. And I don't know what else to say on it. I thought he had not a very good game because I didn't think anyone's very good, but I thought we had a good game. I don't think it was a 4-1 game. Like, you know, when we nearly chipped the keeper, that's a great save from their keeper. If that goes in, it's a different game. I think Ashford had a chance when the scores were quite close. That changes the whole outlook of the game. And as soon as, you know, on the 57 minutes, the manager brought Joel Colwell and Conte on straight away. Literally, I think it was like 60 seconds after that third goal went in. Yeah, like, it's clear that the manager was trying to get a result as opposed to just blooding young players. And I think everybody who turned up to that ground yesterday on the back of the Southampton game, particularly the latter part of that Southampton game, I think everyone was hoping to see more than just Kean Ashford start, maybe a Conte start. I understand Joel Colwell is a bit harsh to chuck him in starting, but I think that's what people wanted to see, some of these players for next year, maybe a Turnbull in an eight and stuff like that. I don't know. I was a little bit disappointed, you know, to see Bowler. I don't think he's as bad as people have made out, but I also think that there's been times where he could have been, you know, you could have had a Tanner in there or an Ashford in there earlier in the season. But it is what it is. Number two, we don't quite look the same without Reuben Colwell. As in a creative and attacking force, we just look a bit lost in certain areas of the pitch, particularly in the first half. And what I find interesting about that is at the start of the season, Reuben Colwell was very much like, everyone was sort of like, oh, should we loan him out? Should we sell him? Is he going to be able to play Ramsey, blah, blah, blah. And I think he's really excelled this year and he fully deserved the Young Player of the Year. And actually, we've got a video where we give our Player of the Year sort of things for Cardiff City World over the next couple of days. But in that discussion, I think Ruben's probably the closest player to Perry NG in terms of the Player of the Year conversation. I don't know what people think of that. On the number eight and Turnbull thing, Louise says, watch Turnbull next season. She also says this has been the best positive season ever. Lots of positives to look forward to next season. Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree with that. And I think the manager being able to get the right players in to develop how he plays will be a big difference. And I think there's enough evidence to show that. Now, has his stubbornness at times meant that we haven't seen that? Yeah, I think it has. Picking Wintle when he was poor, picking Bowler when he's been poor at times. Not quite sure what we're doing. He hasn't had number nine all season, let's be honest. Reece says, I agree, Turnbull looks like a number eight. I said it before, but I genuinely believe the perfect midfield duo would have been Sawyers and Seo. I just feel gutted we'll never get to see that develop or flourish. Yeah, and I think, like I said, I think, look, we just don't look the same team without Reuben Colwell's kind of physicality, directness, his creativity, his movement. We just look a bit lost around the edge of the box when he's not in the side, which is a big compliment to him and the way he's played this year. Number three, I want to talk about Kean Ashford a little bit. I thought Kean Ashford had a really positive second half. He's really good. Second half, I thought he struggled a little bit, but he wasn't terrible. He's a young player and you've got to expect periods of where they're a bit in and out of the game. You know, they might have one great game followed by another game, which is not so great. What I do not want to see is anyone getting on these young players' backs, because that's what you have to expect with young players, is a bit of inconsistency. And I thought he showed great character to come back from an average first half. I thought he was very good in the second half, and I think he looks a real player. And I hope that he's really, really part of the first team squad. Number four, Joel Colwell finally makes his debut. He does exist. That's the main thing. Very tidy. Looks a player. I do think he's a bit small and a bit lightweight at the moment, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's too small and he can't make it. It just means that he's got to be used in the right games, in the right situations, in the right positions as well. And also, he's so young, he will bulk up over the next 12 months to 18 months. You'll see a big change to his physique, I think. But in terms of how he looked as a footballer, I mean, 17, 18 to come in for your first ever game at home at Cardiff. The team are 3-0 down when he comes on. But he was very, you know, didn't put much of a foot wrong and looks a real player. Whether he'll be involved in the first team squad next year. And I do question, I will say, could we have let him go out on loan on in January? Would that have been more beneficial? I don't know. And look, I don't think, especially the way we play, you don't have to be massive in the midfield area now. Like, Siopas is small. I see Reese has just mentioned Joe Allen, who's like small and lightweight. It's all about your technical ability and how you, but more so how you read the game. And I thought that was something that struck me. He was very composed. And he took up some good positions, read the game well, and he's aggressive as well. I like him, I really do. And I think it would have been nice to have maybe seen him over a few games towards, like, as we've had this run in at the end of the season where we've had nothing really to play for in terms of like relegation or playoffs. It would have been nice maybe to have a bit of a better look at him, because you never just don't know. Like, you know, Conte wasn't a name which was being mentioned. You know, it was all Joel Colwell, Ashford. And in some ways, Conte's come in the last couple of games and like he looks a player. Like, I've even seen some people saying, you know, if NG goes, they'd like to see Conte be the first choice right back, which is massive. But it shows how impressive he's been. I think, and I agree, by the way, on Conte, he's two-footed. I think he could play either side fullback, he could play on the wing, and he can play through the middle in midfield. So I think massive player. I would love to see, I think he should be in the first team squad. And you know, whether he's first choice or backup, absolutely, been really impressed with him. And number five, I guess, is talking about backing the manager. I think it's very important now that the club back the manager in the players he wants out and the players he wants in. And one of the interesting, most interesting conversations is, right, Cardiff have not got millions to spend. You know, I saw someone mention the other day, like 15, 20 million, but we haven't got that. We just haven't. It's unrealistic. So we will have to raise funds by moving players on. So realistically, and I'll put this out to everyone watching now, like realistically, who have Cardiff got on their books who they can sell for a bit of cash? And look, I think the most obvious one, which I would prefer not to leave, but I believe will leave, is Perry Ng. I think he's destined to go play Premier League football next year, in my opinion. I'd be a little bit disappointed if we sold him to another Championship side, unless it was one of the sides who've come down and they give us a boatload of cash. I'd be disappointed if it was like a sideways move. But I think he absolutely deserves a chance to play, go and play in the Premier League or another league and whatever, and he obviously will get good money for him. We should get good money for him, should I say. And then it's, who else can you raise a bit of cash with? I think, well, number one, I think Derby would pay some money for Ivo Adams. They've been very happy with him from what I gather. I'm going to be having BBC Derby journalist Ed Dawes on a bit later this week to talk about Ivo Adams and how he's performed, and I'm led to believe he's had a massive impact on their promotion. So be really interesting. Maybe we can get a bit of money for him, but I don't think it's going to be a great deal. Like, you know, they're a League One side coming up to the Championship. Even though they are a big club, they have had financial problems. But you should be able to get a bit of money. I think out of midfield, look, Joe Rawls is the club captain. He's just signed a new contract. Turnbull signed in January for money. So you're not going to, like, it's unrealistic to say that either one of those is going to go, which kind of leaves Siopas and Wintle. Siopas is not going to go. He's the manager's guy. And as much as I think the manager likes Wintle, I think he would like to get another number eight, unless he's got a master plan to play Turnbull there, which it doesn't look like that is the plan. So probably Ryan Wintle you can get some money for. I think Sawyers is out of contract, but someone correct me if I'm wrong with that. Callum Robinson, I think, is, you know, he's probably done with Cardiff, so I believe that, you know, you'll probably get some cash for. I think there'll be interest in him despite his high wages. Who else is there? Minamoto, I think, was probably guessing. If Soares is on free, Minamoto's on free. One sort of out of the box one maybe would be someone like McGuinness. Maybe you could work out like a get some money for. I think, and that's really, you could probably get some money for him. And then if you can get Kipre on a free, that's great business. Even though I would prefer McGuinness to stay overall, especially like if Nat Phillips is going to be here, if we could somehow wangle like Nat Phillips on loan next year and then sign Kipre on a free, but you sell McGuinness, I think that eases that. One, which is a bit outside the box, who I believe there's a high possibility might go, is Isaac Davis. There's been some interest for some from some big clubs, if you believe the papers. He's had a decent season. Would I prefer for us to have a look at him in a Cardiff City shirt first? Yes, I would. However, we all know what Cardiff do. Like, we are going to, like, the fact is, we're going to sell someone we don't want to sell, I think. Whether that be Isaac Davis, Perry NG, McGuinness, like, one of them is going to get sold. And I got to feel it. Like, can you begrudge Isaac Davis as a young man if Monaco, say, just as an example, Monaco came in and said, here's 3 million for Isaac Davis. Could you begrudge the club taking 3 million for a player who hasn't played a lot for us? And could you begrudge him going to play in a club which, you know, is in the Premier Champions League quite often to a certain degree? I think you have to take it. And from his point of view, you never know when these opportunities are going to come up again. So you have to seize them when they come. And I believe maybe that happens. I don't know, though. It's difficult to say. Who else? You know, then there's people like Kipre on a free, Cody Drayman on a free. I think if you sell McGuinness and NG to raise a bit of funds and brought in Cody Drayman and Kipre on frees, I think that's really good business because that leaves you enough money then to buy some other people. I heard a whisper on the grapevine that Nico Williams might be available on loan in the summer. Whether he would drop back into the Championship, I'd find hard to believe, or come to Cardiff even. But, I mean, could you imagine? Sold Perry NG and got a Nico Williams in a right back. I mean, that'd be amazing. But, and then there's the Conte factor. Like, how highly do we rate Conte? Is it too much to ask him to be the first choice right back? Do you keep Romeo? And, I mean, Romeo's another one you could probably get money for, but you can't sell everyone. You need to have some players. And I think the advantage which Romeo gives is he can play right back, he can play centre back in a three, he can play defensive midfield. So he's a good squad player. So if he's relatively happy, I'm sure he would like to play more, but if he's relatively happy being a part of the project, he is someone I'd probably keep. Let's have a look at some of the comments. Slobro Blue says, NG, Wintle, Adams, we could sell 5-6 others, contracts coming down. Reece says, Ebo Adams, I think we could get a fee. Rena Motors was free. Sawyers is free. I'd sell McGuinness and sign Kipre on a free. Release Old Joe. Isaac Davis, if we could get 3 million, I'd sell. Bagan, release. Jack Alnwick is another one I believe is probably going. For whatever reason, the manager doesn't seem to fancy him. He's a very good keeper, and I think he's been... Me and Paul Abandonato... always mess his name up, discussed whether we thought Ruben Corwell had been a bit shoddily treated this season. And I think you could say the same. Jack Alnwick, I think, has been pretty disrespected by the football club this year. I thought he didn't do anything wrong for Runnison to take his place. And then as soon as we got Runnison out of the way, straight away we got... Halverthin. And he took his place, you know, quite quickly. And then we have not seen Jack Alnwick since, injured, I suppose. But I could see him going, and I wouldn't blame him, to be honest. Let's have a look. Sawyers, Reece says, Sawyers is out of contract and will leave on a free. Atete, I'd sell if we can. Don't rate him. I'd send Atete out on loan to a club in League One where he can play every week and see if there's anything there. I think there's something there. And I'm not quite sure if it's good enough for the Championship, but I wouldn't sell for peanuts, shall I say. I'd probably try and loan him out to a first team, a first League One team, and just try and get him playing week in, week out. I do agree with you, Sobel Robles, how Berth is a better keeper all around. However, my argument would be Jack Arnwick didn't do anything wrong to be like shafted out of it, but Runnison was so poor and there was no reason or excuse to drop Arnwick so shoddily and so bluntly and bring Runnison in. But, you know, look, all managers have got their favourites. They've got players they trust. They've got players they feel they can rely on. And sometimes the outside, the fans, whatever, they don't see it or they don't agree. It's just one of them things. Reese says, think Nat Phillips saying I'd consider returning was a polite way of saying no thanks. Kipri and Dramer, etc. said things like I'd love to return. The lack of enthusiasm says he's not keen. Interesting. I took it as maybe we'd consider it. I think there's going to be, you know, the likes of Leeds and probably the teams which come down looking at Nat Phillips at the end of the day. So you have to be realistic. Slope Road Blues also says Isaac Davis could fetch us about 2 million, in my opinion. We could get a much better winger for that. And you've got Keane Ashford there as well. Reece says, I'm unsold on Howarth. I think he's conceded some sloppy goals and his distribution's poor. I think he's had a couple of moments, but I also think he's saved us a great deal of points. So, I don't know. I think he's tried and tested in the Championship as well, Howarth. So, it is what it is. Right, in terms of the manager's situation, look, I've heard it's going to be pretty much announced probably tomorrow, but I don't, you know me, I don't like all the in the know sort of stuff and I don't like to put stuff out there. I have been told by three different people though, all of which I trust, that they were hoping to announce it yesterday. There was a few last minute details, but all that's left to do is just sign it. I have been told that the delay is on the manager's side, not the club's now. So, and if you remember, I did say that a while back, that that was the delay. So, look, I hope he stays. Looks like he's staying. I'm happy with that. But now the club's got to back him. And not just in terms of raising money, in terms of getting players out, it's important that he can say, I don't want X player for whatever reason. Please move him on. He needs to be able to be in charge of, he needs to be in charge of who's in the squad, regardless of who they are. I didn't understand, it's clear there's stuff gone on between him and Robinson this season. I thought Robinson would be our number nine this year, and I don't know whether he hasn't ended up being that because of the relationship with the manager or other stuff. But then every time he's played, he's never really played number nine. So, I mean, I know he came on yesterday and played number nine, but all season he's played like 10, isn't it? So it's very strange. Reece says, I'm very worried, I won't lie. Dalman said, same stuff with Sabri, and then Sabri walked. I'm praying that the Bullock deal gets done. I'm hearing Bullock wants reinsurance and on signing some funds. That's not what I heard, mate, I got to say. I heard he's effectively just wants slightly better terms and he's ready to go. And it is literally just bits and pieces from, you know. But it's difficult in there because you just never know. That's interesting. So Geordie in the chat says, oh, wait a lads. He says, what's your expectations of Cardiff's performance next season? So, I had this conversation with someone earlier, actually. A big reason of why Cardiff were never in the relegation battle this year was the good start that we got. So, the one thing that I think is important for Cardiff now is that get a manager's contract done and then back him with ins and outs. Get him done early so he can have a full pre-season with the new players. He can get his system set where he wants to play Turnbull in the eight. He wants to have a look at Isaac Davis. He wants to see if Joel Colwell's going to be loaned or stay, Ashford, Conte, etc. Get everyone singing from the same hymn sheet. All the players pulling in the same direction. No disruptions, no arguments, no problems, etc. You kind of move those players out. And I believe if he is allowed to get the players he wants, we will see a very different version of what we saw earlier in the season. So what we saw earlier in the season was a possession-based Cardiff, but a team which pressed, a team which moved off the ball, looked after the ball, but we had movement and we pressed and we had one in fullback inverting at times and one overlapping. It was very clever. And if you go way back in some of the shows where I was talking about those games, I said how tactically astute I thought the manager was, thought it was very clever, thought it was very almost advanced for the Championship. You don't always see that type of play in the Championship. Although it is spreading more and more all over football, I thought it was clever. And it worked very well away from home as well, in Ipswich away, Sunderland away, Leicester away. You know, we were unlucky not to get something from that. Huddersfield away, I thought we were excellent. Ipswich at home. And then post-Christmas, that all kind of fell apart almost. We stopped pressing. We stopped moving off the ball. The wingers just almost inverted more and more and more and more and more. And it became very difficult. And we just sat back and sat back. Look, make no mistake, as much as the majority are behind the manager, there is a portion of the fan base who are not behind this manager. They're not happy with the home performances. They're not happy with the style of football. And if he has been told by the board that the style of football at home has to be more aggressive. And his reply, as far as I'm aware, and Paul said it on the podcast we did, he's been told that it has to improve, has to be more aggressive at home. And he has said, if you let me get certain players out, certain players in, then it will be. And I think it's fair to say that at the start of the season, there was enough to indicate that. Sunderland, Southampton at home indicated that. Ipswich at home indicated that. Now, you could argue that a lot of the players who played in those games where we have done well have been available all season. So why hasn't he picked them is another thing. So my expectations for the season, next season for Cardiff, is I would like to be challenging for the playoffs. And I believe that we can do so if we let the manager get the right ins and outs going. Slobbero Blues says, I would probably loan Joel Colwell out next season. He looked a bit nervous and shaky when he came on. I think, number one, you have to expect that. It's his debut. The team was getting smashed. I thought he grew into it a little bit. And I thought by the end, he looked really composed and he looked after the ball really well. Didn't really give it away. He is a bit small, but I think that will change over the next 18 months anyway, because I think he'll fill out and stuff. And I also think that he is so capable that he, and this is why I felt he should have had a run of minutes over the last few games to get rid of those nerves while there was nothing on it. And I think that was a bit frustrating. And the other thing you've got to remember, I think Paul's just said it in the chat, if our home form had been a bit more, if we'd been a bit more aggressive at home, picked up a couple more wins, we'd be in the playoffs. If we'd been had a bit more luck in some of the away games, you know, the Leicester game early in the season, we lost 2-1. But just before Leicester scored the winner, Mate has a one-on-one. And I think what people are not putting enough on is we haven't had a number nine all season. We haven't had a number nine to chip in with 10 goals. And if you think how well he's done without a number nine, it's quite incredible. Like, if you could just get a number nine, not even a prolific number nine, someone who's going to bag you 20 a season, just get a number nine that works hard, is going to move and can link up play, who will just score 10 goals next year. That's a lot of extra points this year if you just put a striker in who scored 10 goals. And I think my thing with Bullet at the moment is, yes, I understand people's reservations with him and the style of football, and particularly at home. But I think it's only a couple of tweaks to get it right. As I said earlier on in tonight, I don't think Bowler's been as bad as people say, but I don't think he's been good either. I know Rob on the Flower Hour has really thought he's been really, really poor. But then he also thinks Carlin Grant's been quite poor. I think Carlin Grant has suffered from not having a number nine to play with. But they've all, we've missed so many chances this year, like easy chances, whether it's Atete, Mete, Grant, Bowl, like they've all missed a lot of chances. I think we see a better version of Ruben Colwell if we have an out and out number nine who's good. Reese says, interesting side. A lot of rumours flying around the club at the moment. I did hear as well next season's badge will be the proper badge again. Yes, the 125-year anniversary. I expect all the stops to be pulled out and the little things. Would love to see the real badge come back, mate. Welsh Kyle, I spot on 100% agree with you, mate. He says, Carlin Grant has been one of the best players. His work rate is unmatched. Carlin Grant, in my opinion, has been the best attacking player we have. Him and Ruben Colwell have been a shining light in a depressing attacking final third for Cardiff City this year. We have to get rid of a lot of players. And I think if you replace them with better players, you could be really cooking. I'd like to see us be a little bit cleverer with loans next year. I think the loans have been a bit hit and miss this year. Like if you break, you know, look at some of the loans, Runnison, awful. Wilson Esperance showed glimpses, probably defensively, not a left back, more of a wing back or even a winger. Thought he showed glimpses and tried, but he went to pieces in the derby and never quite recovered from that before his injury. Bowler. Look, I've said it numerous times, so for the sake of repeating myself, for the, I see a few new names, so I'll say it again. Bowler has all of the tools to be a top, top championship winger. I think he'd be better on the left. And I think if he plays on the right, he has to have almost like a marauding fullback who's going to overlap. And that's massively why I think Conte has looked so impressive, because he gets right up and he overlaps and he's fit enough to get back. But Bowler also has caused a lot of the issues for people like Ruben, where Ruben can be having a good game and he'll fill up a pocket of space. And instead of Bowler running in behind the fullback and he can, you know, Colwell can slip a little reverse ball behind the fullback, Bowler's like stood 2 yards away from him and he's, it closes the space. So I'd like to see, look, if I was me, I would shake his hand and say, thanks for your time. I'll see you. Thank you very much for your service. And I'd move on and I'd try. I would like to see us go without and out wingers. I'd like to see us play with a right-sided winger on the right, a left-sided winger on the left. Because I think as a team, we'll be better shape-wise. We'll look a bit more balanced. And I think you see more out of Ruben Colwell with that proper number nine and wingers who beat their man and put the fullback under pressure. If, look, the manager clearly likes Bowler. If it brings Bowler back, please play him on the left or don't play him. We cannot have this unbridled loyalty to our form players. And he's done it. I admire the loyalty and stuff like that and sticking with the players you trust, yes. But there's got to be a point where you're like, well, look, this player deserves a chance. He's been patient. He's working hard, etc. And Bowler and Wintle at times have been very poor. And the manager kept playing him and it cost us dearly. I do think he's a confidence player, Bowler, and I think he's clearly got ability. I just think there's better wingers you could get in, whether it be on loan or a young winger who you bring in for a bit, a little bit of money. Reece says the big issue is the market so dilated. 15 years, 5 million bought you a 15 years ago, 5 million bought you a 20 goal a year season striker in the Championship. Now you pay 5 million, you might be lucky to get double figures. Oh, yeah, 100%. It's brutal. Also, Reece says, don't think Bowler's good enough. Probably be okay at the bottom end of the Championship. But if you want to chase the playoffs, no point. He'd probably suit a number 10 more than a wing. I think he's too one footed to be a number 10, personally. The other thing I would say, which was, I don't know. I saw some people kind of comparing Josh Bowler to Craig Noon. And I was like, the only similarity I see is that they're very one-footed. I thought Craig, maybe it's a bit of like nostalgia, but I thought Craig Noon was way better, way more consistent. But again, maybe that at the time I was like, oh, he's just one good game, one bad game. and maybe there's a bit of nostalgia there. I don't know. Craig Newman was unbelievable for Cardiff at points. Geordie says, you need a Welsh club in the Premier League. It's been too long. Good luck to you and Swansea. Good luck to you, I should say, Swansea. Let's have a look. Slope Roads Blues said, Bullet and his coaching staff at the Forest game today. Very good friends with the owner, aren't they? Well, yeah, Noon had a better left foot by far. Mate, Noon was quality. And do you know what else Noon did? Played on a flipping left. Like, you imagine, right, Bowler this year, if his job had been beat, get the ball, stay high and wide, beat, get the ball, drive at the fullback, beat him and put a cross in. Imagine how many chances we'd have created. And then you can say to Colwell as the 10, you know, as soon as you give it to the fullback, get in the box and arrive in late. So you've got the centre forward going in and then you've got Colwell arriving late. But you can't do that if you haven't got the wingers getting in behind the fullbacks. Reese says, no chance. Noon was an out and out winger. Took on his man on the outside, used his pace. Bowler drifts too narrow. Can't beat a man. Cuts inside too often, too easy to read. Noon was unpredictable. 100%. 100%. So this week we've got our player ratings for the season coming out, where we went through the whole squad and rated them. We've also got our Cardiff City sort of player, Cardiff City World player of the year, what who we think is the player of the year and the young player of the year. And the Academy Player of the Year. And what else have we got? We've got our Bullet debate, which is going to be out tomorrow. I can't remember what else. We recorded a load of stuff on Friday. So we've got some stuff coming. They'll be out. We should have another episode from Terry Phillips on the history of Cardiff City as well. The Flower Hour is on Thursday this week. I'll be doing something on Wednesday, probably with Ed Dawes from BBC Radio Derby. Talking about Ebo Adams. We're going to try and do a bit of a loan watch, speak to fans from the clubs where, you know, where players have been on loan. And this is the other reason why I think it's important Cardiff get their business done early, because I believe, like, I would like, who do I would like to really have a look at in pre-season if I'm a Cardiff coach and staff? Eli King, Isaac Davis, Joel Colwell. Who else? There's a couple of others I'd really like to have to look at. So when we did our Player of the Year conversation, we were talking about who comes into the conversation. Sober Oak Blues has said, I'm surprised Nat Phillips hasn't been nominated for Player of the Season. I think it's because he wasn't here all season. Like, I think we said he would be in the conversation, but I think, like, for instance, if he's in the conversation, should McGuinness be in the conversation? Because he was good for the first half of the season. I think, look, Perry NG has had maybe looked slightly less assured in the last month, but for the whole season, he's been Mr. Reliable. Whenever he's not been there, we've struggled. He is absolutely a leader. He's everything you want from a right back. He's aggressive. He's good on the ball. Good defensively. Good going forward. Scored a couple of worldies. Yeah, that's a very good point, mate. Cody Draymer was only a year off season and he won it. I suppose it comes down to whether you think Nat Phillips had a bigger impact than Perry NG over the season. Like, I think Perry NG was the right choice. And I think the only people who probably come close are Ruben Colwell, Nat Phillips. I threw Psyopis in there because I think he had that little dip. But I think the end of the season he's been strong and the start of the season he was strong. Who else do I? It was a few, but that'll be out this week as well. Paul says if Bowler was up against pace, he wouldn't fancy it. And this is the problem, he just doesn't quite seem to fancy it. Yeah, so next year, Teresa said you should have a little trophy made and try and get it presented to the players, voted on by the members. Yeah, I think, obviously, the Cardiff City World channel is fairly new, but it's growing each week, so I'm hoping. And we're all hoping, but by the end of the next season, it'll have continued growing, which will mean that there'll be a couple of thousand members and subscribers, and we'll have a proper fan vote for it then. But obviously, because it's in the early stages, we just did it with kind of the group of us on the channel, picking ours and going from there. But next season, it will be a fan vote. And depending on where we are and how we're doing as a channel, we continue to grow at the rate we're growing. happy days, and we'll, you know, we'll probably get some little trophies made up and we'll present it to them at the end of the day. We're a Cardiff City fan channel. We want to, it's Cardiff City content, 7 days a week by fans, for fans. And I should say again, I say all the time, but if there's Cardiff City fans who want to get involved, we want voices. We want people to get involved. We want people to contribute, whether that be vlogs, whether that be speaking to people at the games, whether that's just sending in little videos of you going to games and giving your opinion. We want it all. And we want more people involved. So get involved. Got some really good stuff coming. We've got former Cardiff City captain Roger Gibbons with a full podcast coming with that. We got, like I said, BBC Derby journalist Ed Dawes coming on. I'm pretty sure Paul Abbandonato will be on again towards the end of the season. I'm sure Darren Whitcup will be back on at some point as well, and Terry Phillips, and as his regular series, Flower Hour. Yeah, Mr. Campbell was on Saturday. I should also say as well, if you haven't got your tickets for the Joe Ledley event, they sold really, really well in the first couple of days, but there are tickets left. So you just need to contact the details in the description below on YouTube and on the podcast episodes. It's got all the details, the email you need to contact for the Joe Ledley tickets, which I don't think they are going to go probably by the end of this week, if I was guessing, because they've gone pretty well. The Willie Boland one, which is literally under 2 weeks away. It's week Friday, Willie Boland, Rose and Crown in Ponty. I believe there's a handful of tickets left for that one. So if you want to get involved, come down, say hello, and we will get him going. Yeah, I just call him Abbo because I constantly can't say his name. I said it right on the podcast. That's the main thing, I guess. But yeah, Paul will be on again soon. We had a good chat. And I'm going to also speak to Paul on Ace Podcast Nation about his books on, you know, Gary Speed and Nigel Owen. He's had a quite an interesting career. And I wanted to finish off by saying congratulations and best wishes to former Cardiff City player, someone I consider a friend, I guess now, Joe Jacobson, and his amazing career. He is such a loyal, amazing servant for Wycombe Wanderers. Had a really great career with them. Played his last home game on Saturday. I think, I'm not sure if they've got one game left, but certainly his last home game. Had his testimonial recently. And I just wish him all the best. Like, fantastic servant for Wycombe. Great fullback. I believe he should have been capped by Wales at some point. Very reliable left back. Good set pieces going forward defensively. Really good. Whatever he does next, I'm absolutely 100% sure that he will succeed. And look, I got a lot of time for Joe. He's an absolute top man. Reese says, I've wondered, Si, not sure if you've reached out to him, but have you ever asked Sam O'Man to do a podcast? I haven't, because I don't really know the people who are friendly with him. I mean, I probably could get a message to him via someone. I'll try. I don't know if the people who are friendly with him kind of watch my stuff and that. I don't know. So it's difficult to say. I mean, every time I have spoken to them, they've been pretty sound. So maybe I should send a message and see what's happening. What else did he say? He said, would love to hear his story even more so, as Darwin said yesterday, that Tan won't sell to him. Yeah. One day, mate, the owner will change one way or the other. But listen, the grass isn't always greener. As much as I would like a change in ownership as much as the next man, the grass isn't always greener. And if you look at some of these clubs, you know, look at the club, look at the size of Derby's and what's happened to them in recent years because of changes in ownership and stuff like that. There's plenty of other examples. So as much as I would like a change in ownership, the grass isn't always greener, you know. So you've got to just be careful. Be interesting. I don't think he's going there. Look, he's not going anywhere until the court case with Nant is sorted one way or the other. I think that's a fact. But I'm excited, mate. Guys, I'm excited for next season. I genuinely am. I know people are concerned about the style of football and the manager. But when I look back on the season and I watch some of the earlier games from the season, I believe that there was enough bright spots throughout the season to say that if he can get the right players. And remember that in the January, I think outside of Howarth and Phillips on loan, maybe, and then Turnbull, I think, you know, like Jeju, I think, was just the board getting him a striker because they couldn't get him the one he wanted for whatever reason. Like, I think let's get him the players he wants and then judge him. Because I think there's also a few players who don't want to be here. And I believe that the start of the season and individual games throughout the season have shown that when it clicks, it's going to be really, really good to watch. Really good to watch. So I'm excited. Reese says, who's going down? Yeah, let's finish on that. Oof. Interesting. I got a feeling Plymouth might go down, you know. Sorry to Rye, who might be, may or may not be watching. It's close, isn't it? I mean, look at Sheffield Wednesday, mate. Flipping out. What an escape job that's been to get where, just to get to where they are. Like, obviously, you know, Rotherham are well down. If Birmingham go down, do you think we could, pinch Jordan James? Can we just have him on a free? No, I would love to, I would break the bank for him. I said that before. Yeah, I think Huddersfield and Plymouth, probably the other two. Because Huddersfield are pretty much down, aren't they? So I got a feeling Plymouth might go down. But I don't know. Maybe I'm kidding myself, but I would love to see Jordan James play alongside Sarabas. Paul says, will you be doing podcasts throughout the close season when you hear stuff about new signings? Med, Cardiff City World, 7 days a week, will continue all the way through the summer. We will put out content. We'll put out scout reports on players we're linked with. We'll put out, you know, I'll interview ex-players. I'll interview, hopefully, some journalists and people around the club. I'll keep trying to get people from within the club. I'll continue to try and get the chairman back on. That's gone a bit quiet at the moment, but I think we all know why it's gone quiet. So I'm hoping once the manager's sorted, I'll be able to get him back on. He's been on every year. So I would be disappointed if we can't get him on again and continue that streak. And I would continue to try and get people on, and we'll, you know, the flower hour twice a week. We'll put out videos, the, you know, Terry Phillips series will continue, and, you know, we'll have breaking news when videos, when we sign players, stuff like that. It's 7 days a week, all the time. Like, this is not something which is going away. We'll have Euros coverage over on Ace Podcast Nation. I don't think it's going to be like previous years because Wales aren't involved. So I don't think we're going to do like three shows a week. But we'll certainly do at least one a week where we round up the Euros with Rodri probably and do stuff like that. Like, it's going to be non-stop. Paul says, Jordan James would be a proper sign-in of our intention on what to do next year. I mean, yeah, you imagine, right? Say Birmingham go down. I mean, if we signed Jordan James in like the first couple of weeks of the window, that's like putting a marker down and saying we're going to back this manager and we're going to sign players of real quality. Do I think it'll happen? No. Do I think he's probably out of our price range? Yeah, probably. But at least if they were to go down, it might knock a bit off. And I think he is absolutely the perfect person to play alongside Siopis. And then you can have Rawls or Turnbull to come in and do a job when you need certain jobs done. He can also play in a three. He can also do a job at number 10 if needed. I think he's the perfect one, but I don't think it'll happen. But I would love it to happen. I wish Cardiff had pulled the trigger at the start of the season when he wasn't playing for Birmingham. But then as soon as they brought Rooney in, he started to start and he's never looked back. Because he's obviously been very, very good for Wales. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up there. Appreciate you all as always. Please make sure you subscribe to Cardiff City World on YouTube. Give us all a follow and stuff like that. I will answer this question quickly. Paul says, who would you drop if we signed Jordan James, Rawls, Wintle? But I would sell Wintle, mate. I don't think he's a bad squad player to have around next year. But I believe, one, that Turnbull, as the squad is now, Turnbull would be my first choice number eight, with Rawls coming in for certain games and off the bench for certain situations. I don't think you need all of them, basically. And John James can also fill in for Siopis if Siopis needs a break as a defensive midfielder as well. So when I would probably, I think you can get like a million or two for Wintle as well. I think he'd be like, people would want him. So that's interesting. Like Reece says, wonder if Rawls could do a job at 10, less mobile these days, but like Rambo might be able to find pockets and pass it around. I'm not sure if he'd be, not sure if he'd be suited to playing with his, like, number 10s tend to sometimes, like, they play on the half turn a lot and sometimes with their back to the goal. I feel like Rawls is better with the pitch in front of him, similar to Turnbull in many ways. And like I said, with Rawls, it's not that I think he's not good enough or anything like that. I just think you've got to be realistic. He's not going to be able to play every single game. And I don't think every single game is suited to him. You need to have an alternative, whether that be Turnbull, Jordan James, or whoever else. Like, there's options. You just got to be clever. Back the manager, ins and outs, and we'll see where we go. As always, a pleasure. Please make sure you're subscribed. If you haven't got your tickets for Willie Boland, if you haven't got your tickets for the Joe Ledley event, they're all down below, the details. Only a tenner. Absolute great night. Come and say hello. Come and do it. It'll be a top, top stuff. It'll be great to see you. And it'd be great to sell them out as well. Nice one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.